Word of God, He gives us all we need to live a life that is victorious, a life that is truly blessed. And as you turn more and more of yourself to Him, as you come in a point of total surrender, that's where God can come in and show more and more of Himself. So why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father God, we come into Your most awesome presence and we say, Lord, we truly need You. We can't imagine living life without You. So Father, I ask You now, let Your Holy Spirit's power and presence come upon Your children. Let us be so in tune to Your Holy Spirit's voice as we hear Your word. So much so that we know we're not going to leave here the same person. We know we're going to be more like Jesus Christ. So Lord God, it's all in Your hands. We come to give You all the praises. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Hallelujah. We know God is in the house. Amen. Amen. Let His presence just come forth and just fill you up, overflowing of His goodness. Well, the title of my sermon today is The Kind of Faith That Truly Pleases God. The kind of faith that truly pleases God. You know, I got to tell you, I've been a pastor for about 5 years. And in that short period of time, I got to tell you, I preached about faith in God at least 4 times. I looked over my notes and I go, wow, I talked about faith at least 4 times. And yes, this is the 5th time, but don't worry, it's not the same sermon. I know the Holy Spirit, He reveals to me different scriptures with a fresh new perspective on what we have to know about having faith in God. Because after all, you can say faith is the backbone of what we believe in God. Because with faith, we know that God can do the impossible. With faith, we believe God, He will move the mountain for us as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him. And I know when I ever preach a sermon about faith, I know it charges me up. And I hope it'll do the same for you because the scriptures, they come alive. It tells us about how we are to have this kind of faith, to believe that God, He can do anything as long as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him. But what we have to understand is that everyone in the world has faith. Because one pastor put it this way. He says, faith is the heart of life. Just think about this. You go to a doctor for your initial visit and you never met this person before. You don't know him personally. You don't know anything about him, yet you're willing to go and let him tell you what's wrong with you. And, you know, he gives you a prescription medication that you cannot pronounce. And he gives you a prescription paper. You cannot read his handwriting. But you go, okay, I'll take it to the pharmacy. And you go to the pharmacy and you give it to the pharmacist. But you'll never see him because he's back in the back room filling out your prescription. And he gives you a medication that you know very little about. And yet, what do? We take it. So isn't that living by faith? You don't know what you're putting in your mouth yet. So, okay, I'll take it. The doctor says to do it. Well, the pharmacist gave it to me. Well, the fact is, we can't get through a single day without living by faith. Because when you flip a light switch at your home, you put faith in the electrical wiring, don't you? You believe that light will come on. And when you turn the ignition switch in your car, you trust that the motor will turn on, it will crank, it will run. And when you mail a letter, you have faith in the U.S. mail service to deliver it, right? You don't doubt it, right? You say, oh, my letter will get to that person I'm sending it to. And when you get on an airplane, you have faith that the pilot will eventually get you to your destination. Oh, you don't worry about, oh, I know I want to go to California, but oh, I hope I don't end up in Timbuktu. Right? You know the pilot will get you to where you want to go. And here's the thing. You have to believe and depend on that person or thing to help you through whatever you need to be accomplished. You got to have faith that that person or thing will come through. And you know, the same is true with spiritual faith. Buddhists, they have faith in who? Buddha, right? Muslims, they trust in Allah. Hindus, they believe in various gods, actually thousands of gods. And you know, most religious people put their faith in their ability to keep the rules, to be good enough to satisfy their God, or to reach nirvana, as some religions call it, or to build up good karma. But you know, even when people, they claim to have no religion at all, they still live by faith. Did you know that? Because every human, they put their faith in something or someone. Some people, they believe in the power of the human ability or potential. That's why some people say, oh, I don't need God. It's my own strength. It's my own power that will get me far. And I'm thinking, man, if you only knew God. Or it may be that some people believe in the power of knowledge, in science, and in reason, that they say, oh, that's all I need. That will get me as far as I want to get ahead in life. Or they may have faith in some vague concept. You've probably heard of someone talking about having oneness in nature. And you go kind of think, oh, what does that mean to be one with nature? But some people do believe in that. And you got to understand that Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. Let me read to you Hebrews 11, 1 to 6. It's not in your notes, but we're going to go through it throughout the sermon. Let me read it to you. You can just listen along. It says here in Hebrews 11, starting with verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is what biblical faith is. And Hebrews 11 puts a big concept into very few words. Look what it says in your notes. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is what? Confidence in what we hope for. An assurance about what we do not see. And the key word there is confidence. Do you have confidence in God so much that you believe him for anything? A.Z. Tozer, he's a well-known Christian author, he wrote that to explain this verse, we have to really look at what faith is. And basically he says that faith is seeing the invisible but not the non-existent. Some people think that faith is believing in something that is actually not there. But do you believe God is there when you call out his name, when you pray to him? Yes, God is there. Because biblical faith believes God when he tells us there is a reality which we cannot see. It's not about something that is non-existent. We got to believe when we go to God, God is here. He's within us. He's around us. He is for you and he is for me. And faith means that we keep our eyes on God who controls circumstances, not the circumstances themselves. Because so often I'll hear someone tell me, you know, Pastor Ben, I tried God and he didn't make my situation better, so I quit. I don't want to believe in God anymore. I hear this often. I tried God. Well, you know what? God is always there. He's always with you. You don't just try him and say, okay, well, he's not doing what I want him to do, so I quit him. Oh, no, you got to keep going to God because God wants your heart. You got to be totally dependent on him. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it tells us, look in your notes, it says, we live by faith, not by what? Sight. Because that sounds simple enough, but you know, for some reason, people get all kinds of misconceptions about what faith is. So we're going to take a few minutes to look at what biblical faith is not. So look in your notes. It says, biblical faith is not. It says, faith, biblical faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Because some people think that you have to ignore logic and reason in order to believe God. And you know what? If that's the case, it's just like a child believing in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, right? And we got to understand, no, it's more to it than that. We know what the Bible tells us about who God is. And the fact is, believing that there is no God requires an unreasonable kind of faith. Because if you ask an atheist or agnostic or a secular humanist, about what faith is and you ask them to put it into words, it might sound like this. They might say, by faith, we believe that the universe evolved from mindless matter so that order accidentally emerged from chaos. Can you imagine? They believe from chaos, you have order. And you heard of the Big Bang Theory, right? There was a great explosion, boom! And then everything just kind of settled down and you see what you see here, you see all the animals, all the trees. It all occurred accidentally from a big explosion. Does that make sense to you at all? But that's what they believe. And you know, science consistently shows that order does not grow from chaos. It's impossible for that to happen because it all points to a designer. That's why we believe in the Creator, who is Jesus Christ, because everything that was created through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us, and we know that that's how everything came to be. You know, one thing I love to do is I love to raise fish. I have an aquarium. Actually, I have two aquariums, and I have a fish pond at home. I just love fish. And so many times when I'm kind of stressed out, I'll just sit in front of the aquarium. Jolene knows this. And she kind of thinks, oh man, something is wrong with this guy because I can sit like 2 hours in front of my aquarium. And I love to admire, just to look at the intricate details on the body of my fish. And you see beautiful colors, just see the stripes. You just like, you can't think that's accidental. You just see like every spot, every stripe is where it should be. And I'm thinking, oh God, you are such an artist. You're magnificent in your artwork. How can this be that people think this is all by accident? Or if you ever look at a butterfly, look at its beauty, just look at the coloring, the details. That's all designed by God Himself. And we realize we truly have an awesome Creator, don't we? And I don't know about you, but I find what it says in Hebrews 11:3 to make much, much more sense. It's in your notes. Take a look here what it says. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at what? God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So basically, God took the nothingness and made it all. God, He can do it because God can do anything. He's the Creator of the entire universe. And we realize, wow, if God can do that, He can do anything. And that should bring up our faith, shouldn't it? Bring up our faith to the point where we're not going to worry about the things of life. We're going to trust in Him and believe as we cry out to God, God hears us. And He will do something wonderful, something awesome in your life as you believe in Him, as you trust in Him. But you know, both statements require faith. But you know, with the Christian faith, it uses logic and reason. It is based on historical evidence. That's what you have to understand. It is supported by biblical record, by personal testimony, and by our own experiences. This is how we come to this point of faith in our lives, when we experience God. And we have to be in His Word because His Word will speak life into your life. If you trust in it, if you believe in it, if you spend time in it, God will speak to you. God will show you the way as you listen to the Master. Amen? As you trust in Him. Listen to what D.L. Moody said about faith. This is what he says, a famous pastor and teacher. He says, I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I opened up my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you have a closed Bible at home, one that is getting so dusty that it's covered in dust, and you can't open it because the dust covering is just too thick. Let me tell you, it's time we open our Bibles, because that's the way you will come to know God. It's through His Word that you will receive power. It's through His Word that He will give you all you need to live victoriously. That's why so many people, they say, oh, I can't experience God, I don't feel God. And I ask him, do you ever spend time in the Word? And they'll say, well, maybe once a month at least, I'll open my Bible. I say, well, you got to do more than that. You got to come to know God, and it's through His Word that you will come to know Him. Amen? Well, another misconception is that with faith, we can make God do anything we want. And the truth of the matter is, it's a point here in your notes. It says, biblical faith is not the ability to manipulate God. Because some Christians, they think that faith is some kind of magic medicine potion. You can name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. You guys heard of that before? Name it and claim it. And actually, I first thought that that's what, as a Christian, I should do, right? If I say it, God's got to listen. He's got to do it. But you know, this kind of faith won't outlast the first major disappointment. Because you know what the Bible says? You're still going to have suffering. You're still going to have disappointments. But are you going to hang on to God? Because when a loved one is not healed, or a promotion doesn't come through, or an unforeseen tragedy strikes, false faith will crumble. And we got to tell the Lord, I'm trusting you regardless of what happens. I'm praying. I'm asking, Lord, for this healing. I'm asking, Lord, for this promotion. But regardless, no matter what happens, me and you, Lord, we're always tight. I'm never losing faith in you, Father. Because I want you to listen carefully to this statement. Biblical faith does not believe that God will do what we say. Biblical faith knows that God will do what He says. Get that? Let me read it to you one more time. Biblical faith does not believe that God will do what we say. Biblical faith knows that God will do what He says. And if you know the Word of God, and He has all these promises listed out for us, you know, as we trust in it, we're going to say, Lord, I believe in you. You told me to pray. You told me to trust in you regarding this thing in my life. Your word tells me to do it, I'm doing it. But you got to say, Lord, no matter what happens, my heart always belongs to you. Because God always knows best. He will not let something happen to you where you're going to crumble. Where you're going to say, Lord, I don't know who you are. Lord, I can't experience you. You always got to trust in God, no matter what happens. It's not by your feelings. It's the very fact that you know that God is real. That God is for you. And He will never let you go. Amen? So by faith, we rest on the promises of God. No matter what happens in our life. And another common misconception is that faith means knowing all the right facts and learning all the right rules. And that point, that bullet in your note says, but faith is not adherence to a list of doctrines. Because a lot of times people, that's what they think. Actually, I kind of thought that too. If I follow what the church tells me, they have all these doctrines about what they believe. If I simply believe in it, oh, that's enough. You know, I can just follow all this, but you know what? I'm missing out on one very important thing. You know what that is? A relationship with our Father God. Because biblical faith is a relationship with a personal God. God wants to know you more deeply, but you must go to Him. You must draw close to Him and He will draw nigh to you. You must go to Him first and say, Father, I want to know you more. And if you think about it, this makes sense. The very fact that, you know, in the Old Testament, God is often referred to as what? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you kind of wonder, why is He called that? And if you think about it, just suppose, okay, that you wanted to know or tell someone about who Benjamin Ewan is. And if you don't know who Benjamin Ewan is, that's me. And let's just say, someone said, tell me more about Benjamin Ewan. What would you do? Would you give him my social security number if you knew it? Or my bank account number? Is that telling that person about who I am? Just like some numbers. Or could you tell someone my address, my age, my height, my weight? My body mass index, not too much. I've been losing weight. But let me tell you, is that a way to come to know who Benjamin Ewan is? Really, think about that. But if you really want to know who I am, you could say, oh, he's the father of Benson and Abigail. Or you can say, he's the husband of Jonna Lee. Or he's the pastor of Open Door Christian Ministries. I mean, that's getting to know me more personally, right? And if you want to know what someone is like, you look at the people they spend time with and the people they care about. And you look at the people who care about them. You can get to know a person just by the people that care about that person. If you want to know who God is, though, you can also look at the people He cares for and the people who care about Him. And you'll get to know who God is. You don't believe me? Try it out. Just get to know the people that really care about God and the people that we know really just pour out their hearts to God. And that's why Hebrews 11, it gives us a whole list of people who put their trust in God. And these Bible heroes show us what real faith does. And for one thing, faith will always result in heartfelt worship. And look what number two says. This is what biblical faith does. Letter A, it says, biblical faith, right in your blank, worships. Biblical faith worships. And this is in the case of Abel. And the first biblical example of a worshiper is Abel. He's the younger brother of who? Cain, right? And he was the first man born to the first parents, who are Adam and Eve, right? And, you know, the text reminds us here. It's in your notes in Hebrews 11, 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And Abel worshiped in obedience and with a sincere heart. His faith truly pleased God. And unfortunately, Cain's offering, was it pleasing to God? No, it tells us it was not pleasing to him. And out of envy, you know what Cain did? He took his brother out in the field and killed him. But Abel's honest worship stands as a testimony, knowing that faith pleases God and always will lead to worship. When you offer your best to the Lord, you're pleasing God. When you're saying, Lord, I give up myself, I give up everything I have unto you. This is worship to God. And as you are drawn to worshiping God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, you're going to experience more and more of God. Because, you know, when we come together, what do? To worship God. We worship in praise and worship in songs, in scripture readings, and sermon that you're listening to right now. This is how we worship God, by tuning in to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us about. But, you know, the part of the worship that follows the example of Abel, what is it? It's that time of offering. And I know we don't pass around an offering plate, but we know, you know, like Red, he prays for that time of offering. And we have that offering box in the back. But you go as the Holy Spirit leads you, how much you should give. Because this is giving unto the Lord. This is for the Lord's kingdom. Amen? And as we give unto the Lord, he will bless you back. But you listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you in regards to your giving. Because do you give your tithes and offerings as an act of worship? Because that's what it is. When you give, it's an act of worship. Do you give with a sincere heart of gratitude? Is your offering a sacrifice of praise and obedience? If so, your faith pleases God. I got to tell you about these two men who were shipwrecked on an island. And one of them, he just started yelling. He started going crazy. He says, we're going to die. We're going to die. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die. And the second man just stood there leaning against a palm tree. And he looked so calm that it drove the first man crazy. And the first man says, don't you understand? We're going to die. And the second man replied, well, you know, I make $100,000 a week. We'll be found soon. And the first man looked at the second man dumbfounded and asked, what difference does that make? We're on an island with no food, no water. We're going to die. And the second man answered, you just don't get it, do you? I make $100,000 a week and I tithe. Believe me, my pastor will find me. As much as your generosity can please man. We're not giving to please man, right? Who are we pleasing? God. You give with a cheerful heart. And that's what the scripture tells us. Look in your notes in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It tells us, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives what?
Cheerfully.
That means you don't think, you know, about what you're doing. Oh man, $30. Oh man, I gotta give that. Oh man, that means I can't eat what I want, you know, for tomorrow's lunch. Or, you know, you just think about all these things that you could be doing with this money that, you know, you want to give to the Lord. No, give cheerfully. Just say, Lord, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. Father God, praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed my life in so many ways. Do it cheerfully. And don't grumble. Don't mumble. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have the privilege to give. Amen? And you'll see what God will do. The next example in our list, in this faith of heroes, is a character we know little about. His name is Enoch. And letter B, it says, biblical faith walks. Write in your blank, walks. And this is an example of Enoch. And look what it says here in Genesis 5:24. It says, Enoch walked with God, then he was what? No more. Because God took him away. And some people believe that he was probably taken away in a chariot. God just took him straight to heaven. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who what? Pleased God. And evidently, Enoch walked so closely with God that God took him home without Enoch having to experience physical death. And this is the only incident, right, where we find that he didn't have to die in order to go into eternity with God. And from Enoch, we learn that to walk with God is to please God. And the question is, does your faith cause you to walk with God? You know, I got to tell you, I remember when I was in college, I worked in the school library of all places. You know what the title of my job was? I was a book dusterer. I'm not kidding you. My job is to dust books. I carried a rag around all over the library dusting books. And I got to tell you, that was the most boring job I ever had in my entire life. And, you know, this job wasn't exactly mentally challenging, so my mind always wandered. Imagine 4, sometimes 6-hour shift. Gotta go through the, they told me sometimes I gotta go through the pages, the older books. Gotta open it up, dust it. Man, 4 to 6 hour shift sometimes. I'm thinking, why am I doing this? But, you know, I decided, man, I don't want to just let my mind wander. Sometimes the mind just goes blank. You know, and so what I would do is, I was kind of a new Christian then, but I decided I would pray. I would talk with God. And you know, suddenly, the time just seemed to go much faster. As I spent time with my Father God, oh, I had so many things that I wanted to say to Him. And I just told Him, Father, this is what I'm struggling. Oh, Lord, I'm having trouble with this subject. And Lord, I pray that you will give me wisdom. Lord, I just kept on going like that. And I just went to Him as a child goes to his daddy. And I discovered this is what it means to pray without ceasing. Yes. Continually talk to God. And I realized also this is what it means to walk with God. And you can talk with Him nonstop. This is what pleases God, as in the case with Enoch. Just going to Him like that, because some people think, oh, if I pray, I gotta pray with fancy words and thy great, my most awesome, beloved, whatever, you know, Father in most high heaven. No, you don't have to do that. Just go with your heart. And a lot of times I'll start off by saying, Daddy God, I need you. Oh, how I need you. That's from the heart, isn't it? And that's what God loves. A heart that's willing to go to Him with this kind of intimacy, saying, Father, I need you so much. And you know, in these times, you develop such an intimate relationship with God. In these times that you walk and you talk with God. You know, there's this Christian author. His name is Tim Hansel. And this is what he writes. He says that one day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country, we were climbing around on some cliffs. And he says, I heard a voice above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me!" And he says, he turned around to see Zach, his son, right? Joyfully jumping off a rock like 10 feet up and straight at him. And he had jumped right at him and he yelled, "Hey, Dad!" And he says, he became an instant circus act. But he caught him. But they both fell to the ground. And for a moment, he said he could hardly talk. Because imagine, his son probably like 50, 60 pounds, right? Just tumbling right on top of him. And he says, when I found my voice again, he said he gasped in exasperation. And he says, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he responded with a remarkable calmness. He says, you know what his response was? He says, "Sure, because you're my dad." And his whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. And the question is, do you believe that you can trust your Father God for anything? Because that's what it comes down to. Because I hear a lot of people, they're so worried about the situation that's going on in our country. So many things happening in the world. They're pacing around in their house late at night, wearing out the floor. And we realize, do we believe in God for everything? Because this is what it comes down to. If you were to accidentally, you know, it's in a spiritual sense, you know, you were somehow pushed over a cliff, do you believe that your Father God would be there to catch you? I'm talking in the spiritual sense, not in the physical sense, right? That you felt like you were falling off a cliff. Do you believe that our Father God would be there to rescue you, to save you, to show you who He is? We got to have faith. We got to have faith. Believe that God, He can do anything. And we got to realize that when we have this kind of faith, God is truly pleased. Amen? And the question now to ask, do you walk with God each and every day? Do you communicate with God when you are doing your chores, when you're mowing the yard, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're taking a shower, when you're driving your car? This is the kind of faith that pleases God. This is what it means to walk with God. Just constantly, just going to Him with your whole heart. The next Bible hero I want to talk about, his name is Noah. And we know him better than Enoch, right? Noah is a man whose faith had led him to some long, hard work. And who loves hard work? No one? Oh, come on now. But you know, here's the thing. Look at the letter C here. It says, biblical faith works. And this is in the case of Noah. And maybe you never thought about it, you know, but building an ark is not a small task. Because it took Noah and his three boys. You know how long it took him to build this ark? Who knows? Over 100 years. Over 100 years. And a lot of people were calling him crazy, nutcase, and all that, right? But did Noah stop? No, he was still willing to work hard because he said, I got a project to do for God. Look what it says here in your notes, Hebrews 11:7. It says here, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. It says, in holy fear. And he feared God, knowing that, yes, God loved him. But if he does not obey God, I mean, he's pretty much on his own. He knows that to really show God how much he loved him, he had to obey what God called him to do. And he did it, didn't he? Regardless of all the opposition, regardless of all the names he was called. And you know, most of us, we're not going to be asked to build an ark. But what if he did? Would you do it? If you know God came down, he spoke to Noah just like how, you know, he would speak to us, you know, in a way that you heard an audible voice. Would you do it? But you know, here's the thing. God has given every one of us an assignment to do. Every one of us. It may not be to build an ark, but God has given us assignments. He calls us to touch other people's lives. He calls us to make a difference in another brother's or sister's life. The question is, do you have the kind of faith that leads you to work hard for the kingdom of God? Because if you do, this is the kind of faith that pleases God. Because it's so easy, because I was there. I just said, you know what, I'm just going to go to Sunday church. I'm going to sit in the back room. And I'm just going to listen. And then after that, I don't do anything else. The next time I do a church activity will be next Sunday at the same time. That's it. I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't have to share my faith. No, I'll just sit in the back room, listen to the message. That's it. That makes me a Christian. No, God calls us to do so much more. He has an assignment for you and I. And if you tune into the Holy Spirit, He will reveal it to you. And as you do it, God's going to give you more assignments. And He's giving you more, as He gives you more assignment and you complete it, I got to tell you, you're going to be so blessed. Because God will shower your life with His blessings because you obey. You truly showed Him that you really love Him. I got to tell you about this missionary in Africa. He was once asked if he really liked what he was doing. And you know, his response was very shocking. You know what he says? He says, "Do I like this work?" He said, "No, my wife and I do not like dirt." He says, "We have reasonable, refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat manure. But is a man to do nothing for Christ if he does not like it? God pity him if it is so." And he says, liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go and we go. Love constrains us. Does the love of God push you forward? To say, "Lord, if you're calling me to call this person or to just ask this person, is he or she okay? Can I help out in any way?" I mean, this is what the love of God will do. It makes you want to help others. It wants you to extend a hand when needed, when someone is so down and out and depressed. Can we be the ones to extend our hand and say, "Oh, let me help you. Let me be the one to make a difference. You know, let me go to God. Let's pray to God so that God can give you strength." Would we be willing to do those things? You know, Warren Wiersbe, he's a Bible commentator. And he said in one of his commentaries, he says, "Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do." In other words, faith allows us to operate in the supernatural. Because others are not going to be able to see it. But as you say yes to the assignment the Lord has given to you, you're going to see what God is doing. You're going to say, "Yes, Lord. Oh, I know you're moving. Father, I'm willing." And you're going to operate in the supernatural. You're going to see miracles happen all over, all around you. As you pray in faith, as you trust in God, you're going to see the power of God being displayed. And God will not disappoint. Because we've seen a lot of times, even praying at the park, people being healed of various diseases. You know, people's lives being restored. Because we have the faith to believe in God. It's not us. It's God that will do the miracle. Amen? And we just trust in Him and we believe that God can do it. The last Bible hero that I want to talk about is best known of all. And his name is Abraham. And he's called actually the father of our faith. And his life teaches us many things about faith. But perhaps the biggest challenge Abraham faced that his faith required him to do was to wait. And who likes waiting? I don't see a hand raising up. But you know, that's the thing. We live in a society, we got to have it right away, don't we? Because I remember before the microwave came into existence, we used what? Stoves, right? And it's a lot of times we heat up the boiling water, you heat up the water and wait for it to boil. It took minutes. But now you can just pop it in the microwave, it takes, what, seconds. And still we complain, "Oh, why is this so long? Why you got to take 10 seconds? And that's the kind of, you know, thinking we have, don't we? We want immediate gratification. For most people, we want it immediately. But God says, "No, sometimes you got to wait on me. Sometimes you got to trust in me. Sometimes I want to let you wait so you'll develop character. You'll learn to be a patient person." And that's what God wants from us. And look at letter D here. It says, biblical faith waits. You can write in your blank, waits. And this is in the case of Abraham. And Abraham, he waited for a home in the promised land. In fact, he spent his entire life living in what? Who knows? He lived in tents. He never had a permanent place to live. It says that the Bible clearly shows us here that he lived in tents. And he was a stranger in a foreign country. And you know, I've been camping, you know, on like several occasions, maybe like up to four or five times. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to make a lifetime of living in tents. But this is what Abraham did. And he also waited until he was 100 years old before he got the son that God promised. And all along, he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited for the promised Messiah and the eternal city of God. But he had the trust to believe that God would deliver. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11, 9 to 10. He says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Does your faith require you to wait? Do you sometimes feel like you're stuck in an eternal waiting room? Because you ever been in a waiting room in a hospital? And sometimes, especially if there's some kind of emergency or whatever, you know, you're just kind of pacing back and forth in that waiting room. Oh, where's the doctor? You know, and just like I remember when I had to take my dad, you know, to the emergency room and you know, I was waiting in the waiting room and you're just going back and forth. Where's the doctor? So is he going to be okay? Because he had a heart attack. And the first time, you know, he survived. But I remember, oh, being in a waiting room is not a pleasant place to be. Because if you don't turn to God, guess what? You're going to be wearing out the floor. You're going to be pacing to and fro. And sometimes God says, just wait on me. The question is, are you waiting for an answer to a prayer? Are you waiting for a job offer? Are you waiting for the results of a medical test? Are you waiting for, you fill in the blank. Whatever you're waiting for, are you trusting in God that He will see you through it? That God will provide you with what you need? You know, there's a Christian author, his name is Josh Harris. I don't know if you heard of this book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. He writes here, rushing God's timing is like a fruit picked green. Think about this. Or a flower plucked before it blossoms. Our attempts to rush God's timing can spoil the beauty or the sweetness of His plan for our lives. And you know, I got to tell you, I remember one time John Lee, she brought home a bag of mangoes. You know, and if you guys know, I love mangoes, especially the ones that are ripe and, you know, you cut into it, it's like juice is just spurting out of it, you know, and you cannot wait. You're like, oh, yeah, I want to sink my teeth into the mango. But then I realized, hey, these mangoes, they're not ripe yet. But they have green in it, but I think, oh, man, I remember this was just the beginning of mango season. This is the first bag of mangoes we got. I said, okay, can't be that bad. So I just took one mango, the ones that I saw that was the most ripe. I cut into it. There were no juices that came out. But I said, oh, it's got to be sweet. So I bit into it, and guess what? Was it sweet? It was sour. You know the kind of sour that makes your face go, you know, it scrunches your face? That's what it did. And I go, oh, man. If I only waited like maybe 3 days, 4 days, I mean, it can become so sweet just in a matter of days. But I wasn't willing to wait. And I remember another time, I remember there was this young child that went to his parents all excited because, you know, he had just picked a hibiscus flower. But the thing is, this hibiscus flower did not come into bloom yet. And he was so excited. Oh, mommy, daddy, look at this. Oh, all the beautiful colors, there's orange and red and all that, was so vibrant. But it wasn't open, it was like this. And then the father says, oh, let me show you something really beautiful. And he went on the, you know, at the bush, and he picked one flower that was on the very top. And it was in full bloom. He picked it and showed it to the child. And then the child goes, wow. And suddenly she just dropped that other one that had not fully blossomed. And she kind of started stepping on it. And she goes, "Daddy, I want that one." And the whole point is, when we're patient, we're willing to wait, that's when God's best will come. We got to be willing to wait. God calls us to wait sometimes. You can't have it right away, because God may be preparing the best for you. And by faith, you believe. In fact, you know that God will come through in the end. And look what it says here in Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who what? Wait on Him. To the soul who seeks Him. Is your soul seeking Him? Is your soul saying, "I'm willing to wait because, Lord, I know the best is yet to come. You're going to provide for me the most sweetest and most beautiful, whatever it is, as I trust in you." And in this case, Josh, he was talking about marriage. And for those of you young adults who are single, know that as you wait upon the Lord to provide for you this person, this life partner, God is going to give you the best. Guess what, everyone? I waited. Look what I got. Everyone, wait upon the Lord. No matter what it is, God will give it to you. You just trust in Him. You believe in Him. Amen? In conclusion, we realize that all the heroes of the Old Testament, they all waited with faith. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11:13. It says here, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And you got to understand, with faith, they look forward to the coming of the Messiah. But they never actually saw the Messiah. But with faith, for us, we can look back and remember what Jesus did. The very fact that He did come, the Savior did come, and He came because He loved us. And all of us, we can continue to look ahead to the time when He will come back. And all the promises of Scripture will be fulfilled. Amen? Because God says, all of my words will come to pass if you believe in Him. And we look forward to the time when we're going to be reunited with the loved ones that have gone on before us. And we wait for the time that those who are suffering right now, they will be comforted. And we wait with confidence because we know that day will come when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And while we wait in faith, we continue to worship and we walk with God to work for His kingdom. And this is faith that pleases God. Amen. We continue to do as what the Bible heroes have done in the Old Testament. We are to wait, to worship, to walk, and to work in the kingdom of God. This is how you show faith. This is how you please God. Let's read the next verse on your notes together, Hebrews 11:6. And this is what it is all about. Okay, let's read it together. Hebrews 11:6. Ready? Go. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So without faith, know that you cannot please God. You must believe in Him. You must trust in Him. And as you believe in Him, He's going to show Himself strong. You know, I've got to tell you, a story is told of an old man who had a prized stallion. And one day, the stallion, it leaped over the corral, and it raced down the road, and it disappeared into the distance. And you know, his friends came to comfort him, and they said to him, "Oh, that's bad news," they said sadly. But the old man, you know what he said? He says, "Who's to say if it's good or bad? All we can say that is the horse ran away." And a few days later, the stallion, he came back bolting into the corral and bring with it a dozen other wild horses. A dozen now. And his friends came back and crowded around him. And they say, "Oh, that is good news," they cried. And the old man says, "Well, who's to say if it's good or bad? All we can say is that the horse has returned." And, you know, later the old man's son, his only helper, began the dangerous challenge of breaking in the dozen wild horses that was brought forth with the other horse. And, you know, he was thrown to the ground and he badly broke his leg in the process. And the old man's friend, they appeared once again, and they gathered around the old man and they said, "Oh, we heard the bad news that your son, your only helper, has broken his leg." And again, the old man replied, "Who's to say if it is bad news? All we can say that is my son, my only helper, has broken his leg." A few days later, war broke out in the land, and all the young men were called to duty. But the old man, guess what? His son could not enlist because he was still nursing his broken leg. And as the war raged on, one by one, the sons of his friends were reported injured or killed. And as the old man and his friends gathered to ponder the circumstance, they all concluded that no one can judge any circumstance as good or bad. Because you know what? It is God that is in control. God, He can work the worst of situations to good. If you believe in Him, if you have faith in Him. And that's why we put faith in this last verse here. Let's read it together. Romans 8:28. Ready? Go. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Some things or all things? All things. Whether good or bad, God says He works it for good. And if we have this kind of faith to believe in God for anything and everything, I got to tell you, you're going to be a person who really will stand tall. A person who will not let opposition or let the worst of situations come upon you where you feel like you're being crushed. And we have to let our faith level continually rise. And we do that by going to God, just telling Him how much we need Him, how much we love Him, that we're depending on Him. This is how you increase your faith. And you see God at work, you're going to see things happen in your life that you know truly came from God. You're going to see miracles happen. And you're not going to doubt. You're going to have faith to believe. And when the devil shows up, when the devil tries to stick his head into kingdom's business, when he tries to bring forth death and destruction in your life, you're going to hang on to God because you have what? Faith to believe your God. I want to tell you about a man. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. And, you know, he's a pastor that was really well known in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And he went around praying for people, and people were being healed of cancer. I mean, various diseases. A lot of miracles were taking place as he went with the Holy Spirit of God. And one night he preached in this city, and he preached for maybe 5-6 hours. And he did a lot of ministry there, and a lot of people were healed. And he said he went back to his hotel and he was exhausted. And he said he immediately just hit the bed. But he was still awake. But suddenly he heard some rustling noises. And he sensed a real evil presence in his room, in the hotel room. And he says, when he kind of looked up, he saw this dark apparition. You know, it's like a ghostly apparition. And he knew it wasn't good. He knew it was some sort of demon spirit. But you know, he was so filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he just looked at that thing and said, "Oh, it's you." He fell right to sleep. And he didn't let the devil intimidate. He knows in faith, God is always there for him. I can go to sleep and this, whatever it is, demon spirit can't do anything. Because I belong to Him. Do you have this kind of faith to believe in God? To know that He'll take care of you through your worst of storms? No matter what you go through, do you believe that God will see you through? Because this is the kind of faith that pleases God. Amen? So I want to conclude by playing this video for you. And I really love this song. It's called "While I'm Waiting." And as you watch this video, I want you to listen to the lyrics. Because sometimes, you know what? We gotta wait. But as you're waiting, what are you doing? Are you just hanging your head low and say,
to yourself, woe is me, oh, it's not going to get better? Or are you looking up to God and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give my whole life to you no matter what happens, Lord. I love you, I need you, and I belong to you. Arthur, can you go ahead and play that video, please?
Thank you.
Let's give him a clap offering. The question is, are we willing to wait? Knowing that this pleases God, and we're willing to wait upon Him, and we're trusting in Him, we're worshiping Him, we're saying, Lord, I believe in You with my whole heart. This is what pleases God. When the difficulties come in life, but you know what, as a believer, we're not exempt from hardship. Yeah, hardship may come, but you know, that's when we hold up to God in His hiding. God, He will hold me tight too. When we say, Lord, I need You, Lord, help me. This is what God will do. He will embrace you and He will show you how much He loves you and how He will show you how to get out of this storm. He's not going to leave you there. He loves you too much. As you trust in Him, there may be a time you'll have to wait, but it's okay, brother and sister. Because God, you can put your hands up and give you. Amen? You will say, you belong to me. Don't fear, my child. I will see you too. Amen? One way to bow our hearts, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message that's spoken today. And I pray, Father, as we now come with our hearts wide open to you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come. Convict us, Lord, of anything that we need to be corrected. And I pray, Father, as you speak to us, we're going to say, Lord, I want to make it right with you. And with this message, knowing that it is faith that pleases God, you have to ask yourself. I have to ask myself. Have I been truly living a life that has been pleasing to God? In those times of storm, did I hold on to God? Did I trust in God? Now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realized I try to do things on my own, but it's hard for me. Sometimes I try to go to other people or try to fix it myself. But I realize now I must turn to my Father God and put my faith and trust in Him. If that's your heart, you're saying, you know, I know the Holy Spirit is telling me, I've got to learn to trust more. Trust more in my Father God. And you say, I am willing, Lord, help me to live a life that is true to you. Help me to put my faith in you so much so that I know I'm not going to let worry or anxiety crush me anymore. And if that's truly the cry of your heart, the Holy Spirit has touched your heart. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to have more faith. I want to believe in God more. And say, Lord, help me to have that kind of faith. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high and say, Lord, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? We can have unshakable praise to God. Anyone else? Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, the hearts behind those hands say, Lord, help me to have more faith in you, Father. Because, Lord, I want to have the kind of faith that I know, Lord, even the most difficult situations will arise in my life. I can hang on to you, and you'll give me. You give me love. You give me joy. And I can keep my head up. So I can trust in my Father God. Father, will you just let your Holy Presence just fall upon your people right now? Fill them up, Lord, overflowing of your goodness. Let them have an overflow. Overflow of your joy. Thank you, Lord, for what you started in their lives and what you will continue to do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? You can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're ready and you're willing to say, Lord, I surrender my whole life to you, we're going to be praying a prayer in just a minute. You just pray this prayer from your heart. And as you express to God, I tell you, God will welcome you into this family. The only way this can happen is you got to let Jesus in your heart. And if you're ready and you're willing and you're saying, I want Jesus to enter into my life. I want to surrender my whole life to Him. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high and say, that's me. I surrender all to God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer out loud? Let's pray it together as a family. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for a hope. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.
But yeah, she's inviting everyone to see a big part by the Magic Island. So they're there. It's already set up. It's waiting for us.
We're under a red tent on the right side.
Okay. Right side, red tent.
Right after the bathroom.
Right after the bathroom.
It works.
Works.
Yeah.
Well, you press it. You turn it on now.
Yeah.
It's on now.
Off. What is this? Your voice?
Yeah.
Are you recording your voice?
Yes, recording now.
Okay. So go back to the voice. Okay. And then just stop.